Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I just had to put on record the comments made, react to the comments made by Michael Savage, who's a DJ in the United States, a political commentator, been denied entry in here, who's actually, in reaction to the fact that he can't come here, has told his 10 million audience not to visit the UK. I think that's an absolute scandal. And I tell him, or rather his listeners, ignore the DJ, come to the UK, enjoy the holiday, enjoy the actual exchange rate that we have here, and actually understand why the DJ himself is talking out of his backside.
My statement is clear, and let me read it again. I'm sorry, I have to find the page. I was informed that the Department of Justice opinions had concluded that the use of enhanced interrogations was legal. The only mention of waterboarding was that the briefing was that it was not being employed. When my staff person, I'm sorry, the page is out of order here. 5 months later, my staff person told me that there had been a briefing, informed me that there had been a briefing, that a letter had been sent. I was not briefed on what was in that briefing. I was just informed the briefing had taken place.
Well, the clowns are at it again. So someone in the British Parliament is afraid of the boycott that may be growing against the Brits unless they take my name off the list. And he calls me a DJ. I guess that in England, anyone who speaks who's not a member of Parliament is a DJ. Parliament is a member, a DJ, because a DJ is someone who spins records. That's a disc jockey. But I guess they have to keep throwing in their little barbs, you know, the little men, Tobias Elwood. And then, of course, there's poor old Nancy Pelosi caught in her own web. Some would say hung by her own petard. I have nothing against Nancy Pelosi, truthfully, other than her politics. Let's start with that. But I remember I had Nancy Pelosi on my show when I was a mere local talk show host, which has to be over 10 years ago, when she was representing the interests of Taiwan. She was a very nice lady. What's happened here is that Nancy Pelosi is an example of power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But even more to the point is that Nancy Pelosi is hanging around with the wrong people. Nancy Pelosi is trapped in her own web because she was listening to the jerks in the ACLU. She doesn't understand that if it comes down to a shooting match between the degenerate anti-American vermin in the ACLU and the patriots in the CIA, do I have to tell you who's going to win? It's not going to be the pockmarked degenerate in the ACLU who started to look like Robespierre to me lately. You know, the accusatory statements. She's been listening to these vermin in San Francisco in the ACLU who had her believe that they had the CIA on the ropes. She didn't understand that the old establishment is not quite dead yet. Apparently, she's been listening to the wrong people. And there's no question that she was briefed. And there's no question in my mind that they did the right thing at the time. And I would like to see what events were prevented as a result of waterboarding. We are told by the CIA that an attack on Los Angeles was prevented. Well, I'd like to see that. In fact, Vice President Dick Cheney has asked to have these tapes released, or shall I say the notes or the records, showing exactly what attacks were prevented. And Congress won't do so because they know it will embarrass Nancy Pelosi. But I really want to talk about these topics, of course, and my topic is radio talk show host Michael Savage banned from entering the UK, and the fact that I have appealed to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton The Associated Press called me prior to the show and said, isn't it ironic that you're asking a person that you criticized for so many years? I said, no. She was a senator then, and she's a secretary of state now. She is in a new position where she's supposed to represent not only the interests of the United States government, but the interests of the United States citizenry. And so, therefore, she now has an opportunity to rise above petty politics or partisan politics and represent a man whose politics that she abhors. That would show her to be a true stateswoman. That would show her to be presidential material. But if she continues to remain a brittle partisan politician, she will never make it to the presidency. So this is actually a golden opportunity for Hillary Clinton, in case you don't know it, all you liberals. Now, a new article came out this morning from the San Francisco Chronicle. Carla Marinucci wrote a new article called, Here's a Twist, Savage Urges Clinton to Take My Case as Human Rights Violation. Now, I want to say something to you that you should know. The Chronicle, or the SF Gate, had the largest number of hits they've had in modern history because of these articles about Michael Savage. And it confirms what I've been telling you. If this newspaper had only covered the other Bay Area, if this newspaper had stopped catering to the far left, if this newspaper had only shown the paper to be somewhat fair and covered several sides of an issue, in this case the minority dissident side, Michael Savage, they could still be in business. But because they became simply a sounding board for the radical left in San Francisco, they're out of business, losing, I think, $1 million a week. Now they're getting phenomenal hits because the articles are about me. Here's a twist. Conservative radio host Michael Savage urges Clinton to take my case as human rights violation. I've put it up on michaelsavage.com. You can read it. And I'm going to read it to you. If you'd like to talk about Pelosi and what you think about that, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you'd like to talk about my case as presented to the Honorable Hillary Clinton, you can call me on that. What do you think Hillary is going to do is still a good question. But I would like to read you two very important points from my position, which is that the person who put me on this list of murderers is in violation of European law. I think you need to understand this. My lawyers at the Thomas More Law Center said, I respectfully request, Mrs. Clinton, that you take all necessary action to protect Mr. Savage's rights under Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the UK are signatories. And they quote Article 19, Section 2, which I'm not going to read to you. It says, furthermore, the United Kingdom is in direct violation of Article 10 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which protects the right to freedom of expression, and they quote Article 10, Number 1. And then the European Court of Human Rights, in a case of Zurich versus Turkey, Number 1, this is the most important part, has held that the, quote, freedom of expression constitutes one to the essential foundations of a democratic society. And the court went on to say that this freedom of expression is not only applicable to information and ideas that are favorably received, but here's the kicker, but also to those that offend, shock, or disturb. Now, there's no question that my comments may have offended, shocked, or disturbed some people in Britain. There's no question about it. But I will remind you that we in America are protected by our First Amendment, which was written by the most intelligent men in the history of modern civilization, the Founding Fathers, who knew the day would come that we would have a growing totalitarianism in the West, who knew that Barack Obama would become president, who sensed that one day petty dictators like Janet Napolitano would appear on the scene, and who understood that polite speech need not be protected. No one needs to protect polite speech. You all engage in it. What needed vigorous protection was impolite speech, speech that, quote, offends, shocks, or disturbs. Now, if you leftists don't understand that, then you're no longer a liberal. You have become something much different than a liberal. What's interesting to me is that legitimate liberals have supported me. Illegitimate phonies who call themselves liberals continue to insult themselves by saying that Britain has a right to ban me, which they clearly do not. They're in violation of many different European Union laws. And so, yes, I am asking Hillary Clinton to represent my interests. I am an American citizen. So the article says, Savage told the Chronicle in an interview this morning that, quote, I've been very harsh on Hillary and Bill Clinton over the years. But precisely for this reason, she should take my case. It would show that she can rise above partisan politics, because Jackie Smith is in violation of the European Union's laws themselves, close quote. Good for you, Carlo Marinucci, for getting it exactly right and not trying to, you know, smear me. To put me on a least wanted list with militant Muslim clerics who call for the overthrow of Britain, with convicted Russian skinhead murderers who were imprisoned in Russia, with terrorists and neo-Nazi organizers, is slanderous, it is libelous, and it is illegal. And so I am moving on many fronts. I have engaged one of the top law firms in Britain, who will soon be filing four letters or five, I don't know how many, whatever, and I'll have them up on my show tomorrow. I haven't read the whole letters, but the letters, they're coming up tomorrow. What they have done to me in England is not only arbitrary and suspicious, given that my show is not even broadcast in the UK, but it's illegal. And I've quoted Article 10, Article 19. And the fact of the matter is, this is all going to come out in the wash. Savage, the radio host of the Savage Nation, which broadcasts in San Francisco on KNW 910 AM and almost 400 other stations, said he does not intend to let the UK Home Secretary have the last word after she has lumped him in with a group of truly dangerous individuals. Savage vowed today that his representatives will appeal to the White House to seek redress from President Obama, and said he intends to file a lawsuit against Smith herself later this week, charging her with defamation of character. We'll keep you updated. I'll be right back. Savage.
The statement is clear, and let me read it again. Let me read it again. I'm sorry, I have to find the page.
How come I
was informed that the Department of Justice opinions had concluded that the use of enhanced interrogations was legal. The only mention of waterboarding was that the briefing that it, in the briefing was that it was not being employed.
All right, thank you very much. This is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. You hear? I don't have to read cue cards to defend myself because I have righteousness on my side. I know what the case is because I'm the victim. I'm the underdog. She's reading cue cards and doesn't know what she's saying because she caught herself in her own lie. She's strangled in her own web. Now, this could lead to Obama dismissing her as Speaker of the House because he is following Alinsky's methods of politics, which is, I mean, look what Obama's done so far. He's disappointed the anti-war movement by moving into Afghanistan. They, of course, say nothing because they're liars and frauds. He's disappointed the gay movement because he won't change anything on gay policies. They say nothing because they say nothing. He has abandoned people who've gotten into trouble. And my suspicion is that there could be the secret hand of some of Obama's minions behind this. There could be some deal that was worked out at the highest level between the CIA and top Obama officials to cast Nancy Pelosi overboard. And that'll put the whole thing aside. Because, look, the Obama administration, to their credit, once they understood what would happen, said we don't want to pursue a truth commission. We're not in South Africa. That schmuck Carl Levin. Maybe you ought to move to South Africa, that putz. Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Carl Levin, you moron, you. You never shot a Daisy BB gun, and you're already conducting national affairs, you schmuck, you. So Obama, some wise people in the Obama administration said, wait a minute, release these pictures. It's going to be terrible for America. It's going to be really dangerous for our troops. Let's not do it. They understood the ramifications. At the last minute, they got it finally. They understood it. But Nancy Pelosi kept hammering. Truth Commission, CIA did it. They're no good. Why? Too many ravioli dinners with the degenerates from the ACLU. Too many film society dinners with the ACLU. Too many dinners with the left-wing stupid idiots from the Bay Area. Keeps hammering. Investigate the CIA. Investigate the CIA. CIA goes to Obama and says, look, man, get her off our case or we're going to really release this stuff. And it's going to be really damning, not just to her, but possibly to the Queen of Diamonds. Who's the Queen of Diamonds, boys and girls? Who is the Queen of Diamonds? Far wiser woman than Pelosi. That would be the person to look at as to who's behind this. Queen of Diamonds said, okay, cast her overboard. We can't have this. Because if they have hearings, I'm going down with her. And the Queen of Diamonds has too many interests tied all the way to China and back, shopping carts, FDIC. She doesn't want to be dragged down with the CIA investigation. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we learned about the FDIC $25 billion that Richie Blum got through his wife, the Queen of Diamonds. Why should we assume it wasn't the CIA that leaked that truth, saying, get off my back, get off our case, because otherwise you're going down, darling. You're making a lot of money. Shut your trap. Cut it out. You want to play hardball, they said? Here, well, here's a little hardball right between the teeth. And she hasn't said a word about the CIA, has she? So who's out there twisting in the wind? It's Nancy Pelosi. Didn't know when to stop. Didn't know what she was dealing with. You're dealing with the old boy establishment. They're the ribs. They're the spine of America. Don't get me started. Nancy was listening to the wrong part of the anatomy of America. Let's put it to you that way. She wasn't listening to the spine of America, was she? She was listening to another part of America, which we will say is a softer part of the anatomy. And she got the wrong information. She should have left the CIA alone. That's my opinion. And I believe this could lead to the downfall of Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. This could be it. They threw her out because somebody had to go. They want this over with. And the next one to go will be Carl Levin if he doesn't shut his trap. You know what's interesting to me is that you take a look at Murtha. What Murtha is doing is far worse than what Abramoff ever did. Abramoff is in jail. How come Murtha gets away with much worse than what Abramoff did? Answer, because the Democrats are liars and hypocrites. He'll go next. I am telling you the CIA has something on all of these people. And you know what their position probably was? Let them earn. Let them make money as long as they get off our back and let us do our job and do what we have to do to keep America safe and whatever they want to do, however they dip their beaks. I don't know what they do. But when they started to go after the spine of America, the spine reacted. And Nancy Pelosi is finding out that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, especially when you listen to the wrong people, especially when you schmooze with the ACLU. When it comes down to it, push and shove, who's tougher, the ACLU, a bunch of degenerate left-wing perverts, or the CIA?
Savage.
My statement is clear, and let me read it again.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I have to find the page. I was informed that the Department of Justice opinions had concluded that the use of enhanced interrogations was legal. The only mention of waterboarding was that it was not being employed.
Take a hydration break. Okay, thank you. We don't want to get you nervous. Go take a hydration break and come back. You can get special attention if you need. We understand that you are a little nervous right now. You can have a hydration break and take the test again. As of right now, you got an F. Now let's hear what Lindsey Graham had to say.
You can't have it both ways. You can't come and tell me about techniques. Number one, that ought to prove to anybody that they're not trying to commit a crime. If you're trying to commit a crime, would you go tell your political opponent about it?
I hear you.
They were trying to find ways to defend this nation while right after 9/11, thinking another attack was on the way.
No doubt.
Just really bothers me that somebody in a responsible position would have four different stories trying to blame the past administration, won't accept responsibility for what she knew and when she knew it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't. Lindsey Graham's right. And there's no question that she's right. Let's hear clip 13. I want to hear 13.
He did not tell you that he was informed that they were actually using the techniques.
No, he did say that. He said that the committee chair and ranking member and appropriate staff had been briefed that these techniques were now being used. That's all I was informed, that they were being used and that a letter was sent.
Can you believe she's third in command, third in a line of... It's frightening. If you were al-Qaeda in a cave somewhere in Waziristan, what would you be doing right now? You'd say, what's the point of attacking? They've lost already. Look who they've installed in the government. Why do we have to attack? I mean, why would you attack a country that's already attacked from within? If you have an enemy within that's already destroyed the country to this extent, that Nancy Pelosi is number three, Dianne Feinstein is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, a woman from San Diego, a mayor, again, who never set off a firecracker, is on the Homeland Security Department. Janet Napolitano, who kept the borders open as long as she could, is chairman of the Department of Homeland Security. Why would you attack this country? You would have installed people probably not as ineffective as these. If Al-Qaeda took over America, could they do a worse job than installing these people in these positions of power? Tell me. No, you just let it slowly melt down now like an ice cream on a July 4th day on a beach. You let America melt down like an ice cream cone left out on the beach on July 4th between Pelosi, Harmon, Napolitano, Feinstein, and I can name a few others. You got a country melting down like a vanilla ice cream cone on a hot beach. That's my opinion. That's why we haven't been attacked. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Las Vegas, Nevada. James, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's with great pleasure I hear you've involved Hillary Clinton in your fight and this infringement on our speech. How ironic that she's going to have to defend you, one of the people that I'm sure she considers one of her greatest enemies at this point.
Well, she did help create Media Matters with money from George Soros. She's on record saying that. But she is now Secretary of State. She's no longer a mere senator. She's no longer clawing her way to the top. She's now representing the United States government and the people therein. She's not representing a district. She has an obligation to defend me.
Yep. She's your employee, Mr. Savage.
Well, she's not my employee, but if she's a very smart political animal, which she is, she'll recognize this could be used to her advantage. Now, she can only say she doesn't know who I am and she didn't get the letter for so long. Right now, reporters from around America are calling her, calling the State Department, asking for a comment. How long do you think she can stall them? I would like everyone listening to the show to send the State Department, particularly Hillary Clinton, an email or a letter asking her to act on my behalf, on the behalf of Michael Savage and freedom of speech, because there's a principle way beyond a man and say, well, yeah, I don't like his politics. That's exactly why she should represent my interests. I will quote Voltaire till you finally get it. All you liberals have gone astray and have become so-called progressives, which is just a front for your left-wing radicalism, which is communism. True liberals read Voltaire, who said, though I disagree with you, I would fight to the death your right to say it. That was a credo of liberalism. I grew up on it. My professors taught it to me in undergraduate school. But apparently all of the mean people in America who call themselves progressives don't remember what it was to be a liberal. They've left it way behind, which is why Obama is rightly being called anything but a liberal. Socialist, neo-Marxist, communist. Why do you think this is circulating and percolating to the top? Now, forget politics. Look at what he's doing economically, Obama. But that's a whole separate show. Look at what he's doing economically. He finally came to understand that the budget that he has created is unsupportable. He came out with it this afternoon. He said the budget that he proposes is unsustainable. So he's actually moved to the right of his own party. They're like drunken idiots. A budget of this size is unsupportable. Borrowing 50 cents for every dollar you spend is insanity. You go broke. He finally understood it. There's a man who never worked in his life, a man who never worked a day in his life, never ran a business, never met a payroll, never met a payroll. Can you imagine the president of the United States has never met a payroll? Never met a payroll. Never had employees. Never. Now he's running the biggest economy in the world, bankrupting us. Yeah, he inherited a $1 trillion debt from George Bush. I called George Bush a fiscal socialist well over a year ago. Are you paying attention, Hem? Take notes, Hem. You'll be on tomorrow. You can steal this, too. Steal this phrase, Hem. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Whatever you want to talk about. Me, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, whatever you want to talk about. Do you agree with my contention that Obama's hanging Pelosi out to dry? Los Angeles, Dave, KGIL, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just want to thank you for what you wrote in Political Zoo. It's very prophetic about Nancy Pelosi. I love the picture, too.
What did I write? I don't remember. I don't even have a copy of that brilliant book.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love it. I read it on my honeymoon like 3 years ago, and I pulled it out recently now that this stuff has been going on. And
well, do you have a copy of it with you? I honestly don't have it. Do you have it in front of you?
No, I don't. I'm actually at Burger King right now.
Okay. Well, get yourself a Big Whopper or whatever they call them there. What did I name Nancy Pelosi in the political zoo? Whoever can get out their copy and read it. They call me a disc jockey. That's funny. 25 books. Are there any other disc jockeys in the world who have 25 books and a PhD to their credit? I kind of doubt it. Well, whatever. Los Angeles, KGIL. Gary, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. You know, I support you 110% on this British ban. I was born in England, and it's disgraceful. It's illogical. It's mean-spirited. It's unlawful. But you're wrong on Hillary Clinton. Michael, she is a puppet of Obama. And I believe that Obama is probably behind this. And I believe that he thinks that you're one of the greatest dangers to him right now because you're one of the most outspoken talk show hosts in America. You continually bash him, fairly, I might add, and you describe what his agenda is. And he can't tolerate that. And so I think this is the first step of the fairness doctrine, and they're doing it in a very circumspect kind of roundabout way by involving a foreign government.
Well, I came up with that theory myself, that it was the Obama administration, maybe even Hillary Clinton herself. But it doesn't matter. It's backfired on them, hasn't it?
The British
themselves are appalled by what their own government has done to me. Do you know that?
Of course. It's disgraceful. It's unlawful. But here's where you're wrong, Michael. You're not going to get the protection of the Constitution or the laws of Europe or the laws of this country because Obama is intent on taking away these laws and our rights. And you know that because you've said it.
He may be intent on a lot of things, but he is not a dictator, is he, Gary?
Oh, he is, Michael. He is.
No. He's a potential dictator. But the founding fathers were a lot smarter than Barack Hussein Obama, the spoiled child from Punahou High School. The founding fathers knew that there would be an attempt by presidents over the years to assume and aggrandize too much power and take over the country. And they put in a system called checks and balances, did they not?
Yes, they did, Michael. And I can prove to you that the checks and balances are not working right now. I can prove it to you. If you give me 1 minute, I'll prove it to you, and I'll also tell you how you can save yourself and save this country and be a hero. The reason I know the checks and balances are not working is because on the eligibility issue, only Tate's and others are not having their cases heard. They're being thrown out. They're not being heard on the merits.
Wait, hold on. On which issue, Gary?
Eligibility of Obama. You've talked about it, but nobody on talk radio will talk about it every day.
Oh, you mean the issue of whether he's an American citizen or not. Okay, that is a big issue, but it's going nowhere. And what's the next one? You know, you've been doing so well. Don't use my show to push a website, please. Gary, I agree with you. That's an important issue, but it's gone nowhere, and it's not the way to get at Obama, in my opinion. But please tell me how you think this man can override the checks and balances in America.
Do you know that the Supreme Court has been approached by a number of cases and they refuse to listen to them? Justices all over the country are the attorney
general. Gary, I know what you're excited. I actually agree with you. I have reasonable doubt as to whether Obama is a U.S. citizen. I've read all of the data. But right now we're dealing with a man who is the president, irrespective of this issue. And the important thing to remember is he has already been set back on many fronts. He has been stopped many times by his political opponents, Gary. He's coming to understand that this is not Chicago, that the big world is different than Chicago. And he also, I got to bring up, take a look at the ex-governor of Illinois. What was his name, Beowulf? I forgot already. The guy with the hair? Blagojevich, okay? Blagojevich was a man from the political milieu that Obama came from. One in the same political machines. And he got so drunk on his power in Chicago that he thought he was untouchable. Now, I want to remind you, we don't have Elliot Ness, but there are checks and balances. The biggest check and balance itself is the truth. And the former governor of Illinois is no more. He's gone. He overstepped his boundaries, and he brought himself down. He came down like Humpty Dumpty, didn't he? And I am telling you that Obama understands, because he's a lot smarter and he has better advisors, that he also can overstep his boundaries, which he's done with Chrysler. He's violated the U.S. Constitution with Chrysler. He has violated the U.S. Constitution with taking over banks. He's violated the U.S. Constitution with taking over financial enterprises. He's violated the U.S. Constitution by running the budget up like this without checks and balances. And the financial world is fighting back. Very powerful, very wealthy people are coming to understand that Michael Savage, disc jockey, may be right. And for their own reasons, they're pushing back against Obama. But Obama's a survivor. He's very smart, very sensitive to criticism. And he understands that he's overstepped his boundaries with regard to the budget right now. And even he has now left his own party to the left of him on this. He came out, I think, within the hour saying, my budget is insupportable. I'm really worried about it. We can't do this. He's done a few other things that you got to understand show that he's a real politician, but I'm going to put it to you that way, if you want to put it that. Obama says debt load unsustainable, warns of skyrocketing interest rates. How did he finally figure that out? Anyone knows that's what happens, right? So he's coming to understand these things. But there's an even better article which should give you some hope as to the fact that absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that this Humpty Dumpty himself, you know, had a great fall. I am telling you that Obama is heading for a great fall if he doesn't rein in his own inclinations to try to push us too far too fast. I believe he pushed too far too fast, and it has backfired on him in many ways. Now, you won't read that in your morning paper, but it's happening. The DHS report on white right-wing extremists, withdrawn. But the best article is by Jim Geraghty on michaelsavage.com called The Alinsky Administration. And many of you know who Saul Alinsky is, and we know he was a far-left, let us say, communist radical. He died in 1972 when Obama was 11 years old, but Obama's mentor studied at a school Alinsky founded, and they taught their students the philosophy and methods of community organization, meaning Castroism. But the fact of the matter is, since Obama took office, he's made a lot of mistakes. And every time he makes a mistake, the media covers for him. That we know, which is why he's getting away with it. But eventually, that is starting to crack. I mean, that is starting to crack. Some in the media are starting to speak out. Some of them are finding their courage. Fact of the matter is, Obama says he doesn't want the government to run car companies, but he's running car companies. He's fired CEOs. He demonized bondholders. He ensured the UAW gets the sweetest deal, which is in violation of the U.S. Constitution. He has overridden laws of bankruptcy to make sure the unions get paid off because they backed him. Obama says he doesn't want to run banks. But the stooge in the Treasury Department, the Cub Scout, Geithner, will not take back some of the TARP funds that give them influence over bank policies. He's critical of Wall Street, but he signs off on the Cub Scout, Tim Geithner's remarkably generous plan to give hedge funds and private investors a low-risk, high-reward option on toxic assets. Why? Well, you got to read Alinsky to understand this. Now, you got to understand that the candidate, Obama, during his candidacy, threw inconvenient friends and his allies and supporters under the bus once they became political liabilities. You didn't know that. What's happening is he's doing it right now as the president. And that is because it's all about power, isn't it? It's really not about politics. At the end of the day, you have to understand that Hillary Clinton, who was once a radical herself, became somewhat moderate once Bill started to make a fortune. And there's nothing like money to leaven the bread. And thank God Bill Clinton got a taste of the good life, and he started to moderate his policies, didn't he, after he left office. He realized what it was like to fly on private jets as a private citizen. He realized what it was like to make such big money as a private citizen. And he started to understand that he can't do this as a radical. So Hillary moderated. Now, moderates thought they were electing a moderate. Liberals thought they were electing a liberal. Both camps were wrong. I'll be right back. Well, I got to tell you something. Miracles are happening. I told you I prayed and miracles are happening. I understand that moments ago, Brett Baer of Fox News Network covered the story in a rational, objective fashion. Apparently, they are broken free of the headlock of the Blarney thrower, who has told anyone who covers Michael anyone on Fox who covers Michael Savage will be demoted or fired. Apparently, there's a rebellion going on inside Fox News. And thank you, Brett Baer, for breaking with the Blarney thrower. It's about time somebody reported on this important story, because all of you are affected by it. After all, you're all in the same business as I am, just with a different style. Listen to Brett Baer.
Lawyers for conservative radio host Michael Savage have appealed to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in hopes of getting Savage removed from the United Kingdom's list of banned individuals. British Home Secretary Jackie Smith says Savage was on the list for, quote, seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred which might lead to inter-community violence. The letter to Clinton says Savage was listed among radical Muslim clerics, convicted criminals, and Russian skinheads. The letter also asked Clinton to find out how Savage's name ended up on the list. Savage says he would consider legal action against the British official. Quote, she's linking me with mass murderers who are in prison for killing Jewish children on buses. For my speech, the country where the Magna Carta was created.
Good for you, Brett. I appreciate it. At least somebody at Fox News had the guts to stand up to the Blarney thrower. I understand last night he attacked Michael Savage, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter as being extremists. It's really sad to see a man who has such a good show fall to that level, that he has to attack his competitors in such a manner. You know, shame on you, Bill. I know you've always wanted to be an entertainment reporter, but, you know, you don't have to go to this level. Why don't you just come out and say it, that you're a Democrat? Why doesn't Bill O'Reilly just admit he's a Democrat and get it over with? He might yet get the job as press secretary for Obama. But anyway, thanks, Brett Baer. I appreciate it. At least you covered the story honestly. I really see that people are breaking away from the headlock of the cabbage eater.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is clear, and let me read it again. I'm sorry, I have to find the page. I was informed that the Department of Justice opinions had concluded that the use of enhanced interrogations was legal. The only mention of waterboarding was that the briefing that it, in the briefing was that it was not being employed. My staff person told me that there had been a briefing, informed me that there had been a briefing, that a letter had been sent. I was not briefed on what was in that briefing. I was just informed the briefing had taken place.
I'd just like to put on record the comments made, react to the comments made by Michael Savage, who's a DJ in the United States, a political commentator, been denied entry in here, who's actually, in reaction to the fact that he can't come here, has told his 10 million audience not to visit the UK. I think that's an absolute scandal. And I tell him, or rather his listeners, ignore the DJ, come to the UK, enjoy the holiday, enjoy the actual exchange rate that we have here, and actually understand why the DJ himself is talking out of his backside.
We'll see who's talking out of whose backside. You limey bum, you. I'm talking out of my backside? Then why are you even mentioning the 10 million listeners? What, are you afraid they won't buy your direct products that you don't make anymore? Over 72% of products made in Britain are financial service products. What does that mean? They can't make a car that anyone wants to drive. They can't make a decent beer. I told you I've always been an Anglophile, but not anymore. You're going to get my name off that list one way or the other. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you that my lawyers in England, in London, are filing. They're filing against Jackie Smith, and we're going to sue her. We're going to sue her. We're going to do it. I'm going to get justice. She violated European law. And whether or not Hillary Clinton understands that this is in her interest to defend me or not is up to her, not up to me. She may continue to be small-minded and see things only through partisan eyes, which I expect. On the other hand, I always hope for the best in people. I hope that she will rise above the level of Nancy Pelosi. I'm hoping Hillary Clinton comes to understand that one day when she wants to run for the presidency, she's going to need the votes of the people who listen to my show. And there is no better way for Hillary Clinton to show the other half of America that is not in power right now, the other half of America, that she's somewhat moderate, that she's somewhat fair-minded, than to take my case here. If she doesn't, they're not going to vote for her. So she has to decide what's best for herself, not what's best for me or whether she wants to be vindictive or not. That's my opinion. I believe that she will not take my side by what I see happening. That's to her. She's making a mistake. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying. I will next appeal to the president himself. I may bring 100,000 people to the White House gates, legal, of course, and there'll be the equivalent of a tea party. Justice for Savage, 100,000 people outside the White House, might have an effect, it might not. I don't know what country I live in anymore. But I do know that what's going on in England is very worrisome to all freedom-loving people. It's not just me. Yeah, this is terrible for me personally. But there's a growing totalitarianism coming out of England right now. Young people are being arrested 11 years old for things they say in school. The article is Thought Police Muscle Up in Britain. And it was written by Hal Kolbach. And you got to read this article. Thought Police Muscle Up in Britain. It's on michaelsavage.com. And they show one case after another where the British government is pushing ahead with legislation that will criminalize politically incorrect jokes, with a maximum punishment up to 7 years prison. So all of you pot-headed comedians who think that this is irrelevant and doesn't relate to you, all you left-wingers who think that you're free because your man is now in power, what you don't understand is you could wind up in jail. When they came for the communists, you did not speak up because you were not a communist. When they came for the Jews, they did not speak up because he was not a Jew. And when they came for the trade unionists, they did not speak up because he was not a trade unionist. And when they came for him, there was no one left to speak out because they were all in concentration camps. And I know who said it, Cardinal Niemöller, the German who saw it happen. He wound up in a concentration camp because he didn't speak out for the communists, the Jews, the trade unionists, and others. He didn't think it would affect him. So all of you people out there, all you comedians with your big mouths, all of you wise guys on HBO who think that you're immune right now. But I warn you, you've got to understand, you got to come out of your pot high and understand you're next. Oh, not today, not tomorrow, but maybe the day after tomorrow, when a right-wing government somewhere decides you're a danger to the social order. Bill Maher, you may be banned. You could wind up in jail in Britain. That's right, even a yokel like you, even a guy like you who can't perform unless it's written for you, who could never last 5 minutes in radio, even you schmuck, could wind up in prison unless you understand what's at stake here. Putz. 10 years? 7 years? 5 years? Nikolai Bukharin claimed one of the Bolshevik Revolution's principal tasks was, quote, to alter people's actual psychology. He writes, Britain is not Bolshevik, but a campaign to alter people's psychology and create a new Homo Britannicus. Britannicus is underway without even a fig leaf or disguise. The government is pushing ahead with legislation that will criminalize politically incorrect jokes with a maximum punishment of up to 7 years in prison. The House of Lords tried to insert a free speech amendment, but Justice Secretary Jack Straw knocked it out. It was Straw who previously called for a redefinition of an Englishness and suggested the global baggage of empire was linked to soccer violence by racist and xenophobic white males. Can you believe this? And then he collects reports of people going to jail in England for saying things that you can't believe. In September of 06, a 14-year-old schoolgirl, Cody Stott, asked the teacher if she could sit with another group to do a science project, as all the girls with her spoke only Urdu. The teacher's first response, according to Stott, was to scream at her, "It's racist! You're going to get done by the police!" Upset and terrified, the schoolgirl went outside to calm down. The teacher called the police, and a few days later, presumably after officialdom had thought the matter over, she was arrested and taken to a police station where she was fingerprinted and photographed. According to her mother, she was placed in a bare cell for 3.5 hours. She was questioned on suspicion of committing a racial public order offense and then released without charge. That's England? That's the country of the Magna Carta? No, it's the country of the totalitarians that you were raised to fear. You understand that? A 10-year-old child was arrested and brought before a judge for having allegedly called in a primary school. The Pakistani boy had called him a skunk and a Teletubby. When it reached the court, the case had cost taxpayers around £25,000 sterling. The young boy was so distressed that he stopped attending school. The judge, Jonathan Feinstein, said, "Have we really got to the stage where we are prosecuting 10-year-old boys because of political correctness? There are major crimes out there, and the police don't bother to prosecute. This is nonsense." He was then attacked by union leaders, the judge, as those in witch hunt trials, where any who speak in defense of an accused or pointed to defects in the prosecution were immediately targeted as witches and candidates for burning. Hate crime police investigated Basil Brush, a puppet fox on children's television who had made a joke about gypsies. The BBC confessed that Brush had behaved inappropriately and assured police that the episode would be banned. A bishop was warned by the police for not having done enough to celebrate diversity, the enforcing of which is now apparently a police function. A Christian home for retired clergy and religious workers lost the grant because it would not reveal to official snoopers how many of the residents were homosexual. That they had never been asked was taken as evidence of homophobia. Muslim parents who objected to young children being given books advocating same-sex marriage and adoption at one school last year had their wishes respected and the offending material withdrawn. You hear this? So now you understand what's going on in England. Now you understand that what has happened to Michael Savage has happened to others before. And if you don't speak out, if you don't force Hillary Clinton to do the right thing, these despicable totalitarian laws will come here, and it's your daughter who could be put in jail. You say, no, it can't happen here. It is happening here. What shocks me is that not one Christian organization has come to my defense or aid. Not the Catholic League, which I have defended. I've defended the Pope. The Catholic League has said nothing on my behalf. The Jews, not one word from an establishment Jewish figure. Okay, you want me to go down the list? Slowly but surely in the media, there are some breaking out of the mold and daring to speak out, like Brent Baer today on Fox News. He broke the headlock that the leprechaun had put everyone in at Fox News, and he gave a very fine report. Very, very objective report, by the way. Let's listen to Brent Baer of Fox News. Congratulations, Brett.
Lawyers for conservative radio host Michael Savage have appealed to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in hopes of getting Savage removed from the United Kingdom's list of banned individuals. British Home Secretary Jackie Smith says Savage was on the list for, quote, seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred which might lead to inter-community violence. The letter to Clinton says Savage was listed among radical Muslim clerics, convicted criminals, and Russian skinheads. The letter also asked Clinton to find out how Savage's name ended up on the list. Savage says he would consider legal action against the British official. Quote, "She's linking me with mass murderers who are in prison for killing Jewish children on buses. For my speech, the country where the Magna Carta was created."
Mm-hmm. There have been cases in recent months of people in schools, hospitals, and other institutions losing their jobs in England because of various religious scruples, often, as in the East Germany of the past, not shouted fanatically from the rooftops, but betrayed in private conversations and reported to authorities. The crime of one nurse in England was to offer to pray for a patient who did not complain but merely mentioned the matter to another nurse. She was fired. You hear this? For offering to pray. You Christians better understand that if you don't come to my aid, you better go to your pastor, you better go to your reverend, and you better get this case in front of them. And you better defend Michael Savage, or I'm warning you, your religion will disappear in your own lifetime. I'm warning you, that's what's going to happen. I'm always right. I'm always right. When I'm wrong, I admit it. And I've admitted my mistakes over the years. I'm right here. I'm warning you what's coming to this country. The Royal Navy has installed a Satanist chapel in a warship to accommodate the proclivities of a Satanist crew member. What would Nelson said is a British newspaper cliche about Navy scandals, but in this case it seems a legitimate question. Satanist paraphernalia is also supplied to prison inmates who need it. Could you understand what's going on here? He says, as any one of these incidents might be dismissed as an aberration, but taken together, and I've only mentioned a tiny sample, more are reported almost every day, they add up to a pretty clear picture, the thought police muscle up in Britain, and that Britain appears to be evolving into the first modern soft totalitarian state. Read the article and shudder. And then go to michaelsavage.com where you'll find the article. Read my letter. Tomorrow you're going to read another letter, which we're filing. Lawyers will file in the morning in England against Jackie Smith. This will be our last chance to try to get justice. And then go to the right side of my page and see if you want to support me. I'll be right back. Savage.
Is clear. And let me read it again. Let me read it again.
All right, read it again, Sam.
Sorry,
we'll get back to this
it.
Later. She's still looking for her.
I was informed that the judge.
All right, thank you. This is a scandal, what's going on with Nancy Pelosi, a real scandal. What's going on with me is defamation and a bigger scandal. And I want to tell you right now that there's much more to this story than meets the eye. It will come out over time. I can't give it all to you every day on the show. Tomorrow, let us put it to you this way, a bombshell is going to be dropped in Britain, a legal bombshell. Things will come out tomorrow from my law firm in England that will set off shockwaves through England. When you see what Jackie Smith actually did to me, when you see what she put in the press release about me, you'll all come to my side except the zanies out there who don't have any reason left in their head, just hatred. So the fact of the matter is tomorrow is another day, and I think one day I will have my time in court. I believe I will have a day in court, and I will win, by the way. I will have my name retracted. I'll have a letter of apology, and I may or may not sue them. I'm telling you that I'm not going to stop until my name is cleared. I will not be linked with murderers. I will not be linked with those who justify or glorify terrorist violence. I will not be linked with those who have a racist website. I will not be linked with people who spent 30 years in prison for killing four soldiers and a four-year-old girl with a rifle butt. I will not be linked with a leader of a violent gang that beat immigrants to death and posted films of their attacks on the internet. I will not be libeled by this woman who said that I did things I never did. I have suffered severe damage to my reputation, both in America and the United Kingdom and around the world, all because of one woman, Jackie Smith. And right now it's me, tomorrow it's you. Unless the totalitarianism that is arising in England is stopped, the pollution of Jackie Smith will wash across these shores. And if you think the school moms running America are any different than Jackie Smith, you're mistaken. It's just that they haven't had a chance yet to impose these laws here. You give them a chance and you'll be living in the same mental concentration camp. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com is the website. Eddie in New York, thanks for waiting. You're on WOR. Give me a shot. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. Maybe it's not the time to bring it up. You're so angry at Britain. But did you ever think that maybe it was Britain that actually is behind this? Because if you think about it, with the press that you're getting, the Obama administration now, I mean, how can they possibly bring up the Fanish Doctrine now? I mean, the first hour of your show was classic Michael, and, you know, the world is listening. Not that they weren't listening before, but more so now than ever. This is an embarrassment for the Obama administration if they turn around, especially if Hillary doesn't do anything for you or the government doesn't do anything for you.
So wait, well, you're reasoning what? That Britain did this without America's involvement? I don't get it.
Savage.
You can't have it both ways. You can't come and tell me about techniques. Number one, that ought to prove to anybody that they're not trying to commit a crime. If you were trying to commit a crime, would you go tell your political opponent about it?
I hear you.
They were trying to find ways to defend this nation while right after 9/11, thinking another attack was on the way.
Right. No doubt.
This just really bothers me that somebody in a responsible position would have four different stories trying to blame the past administration, won't accept responsibility for what she knew and when she knew it.
Well, he's right. Lindsey Graham is right. Pelosi has put herself in almost a no-win situation. I believe Obama has thrown her overboard along with, let us say, others in the Democrat Party who realize that she's vulnerable and that she's overstepped her power. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Lord Acton said it. How many British authors did I grow up on? Huxley, Orwell, Lord Acton. So many Britishers did I admire. Bertrand Russell was one of my heroes. Admittedly a leftist, but a genius in mathematics. Principia Mathematica. I read it. I actually read it. I grew up on British authors and scientists. And look what happens. The land of freedom becomes the land of something else, doesn't it? Well, it's not all of Britain. I understand that. It's a small band of radical leftists in the Labour Party who did this, and who are ruining a great nation. And I believe that the blacklisting of Michael Savage, although it is an ominous sign, and it should be of concern to everyone listening to this show, I think it does reflect British society's surrendering to Islamist intimidation. That's according to Jeffrey Kuhner. Very important. Kuhner says that it has profound societal repercussions. It's an assault on freedom of speech for sure. Savage's name appeared alongside mass murderers, Islamic butchers, and white supremacists. Russian skinhead serving prison sentences for killing 20 migrant workers. A known Hezbollah terrorist. In a pathetic attempt to justify her ban, Ms. Smith claimed that Savage is a far-right winger who peddles bigotry and intolerance. Therefore, he presents a danger to public order. But Kuhner says, by this standard, there are millions of Britons who would not qualify to enter other countries because East London has become a haven for Islamist clerics preaching the virtues of jihad and Sharia law. And he reminds everybody that George Galloway, you know who he is? Not only regularly praised Hezbollah and Hamas, but spouts vile anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist propaganda. Galloway was on Saddam Hussein's payroll. Galloway openly rationalizes suicide bombings. Galloway defends Iran's drive to acquire a nuclear bomb. Galloway supports Syria's fascist dictator Bashar Assad. And yet our government has refused to nix his frequent speaking tours of the United States, despite the harmful impact of Galloway's inflammatory, hate-filled rhetoric and the effects it may have. So how come he is not stopped from entering America? How come Galloway is hailed as a hero by large segments of the radical left-wing British liberal elite? Because the British liberal elite is anti-Semitic. Do you know that? Do you understand there's been a long strand of anti-Semitism in England? You know that that's what's going on here? Galloway is an anti-Semite, in my opinion. And he is applauded by the very people who are attacking me. Anti-war liberals like Galloway are driven by ideological hatred. They hate capitalism, they hate America, and they hate Judeo-Christian morality. They argue that the West is irredeemably racist, sexist, and imperialist. Sounds familiar to you? Sound like the Obama administration? So Jeff goes on, Kuhner, and says, the Savage ban is not simply about free speech. It is also an intellectual power grab by the left, a deliberate effort to muzzle dissenting voices on the right. Savage is a conservative populist who believes in, what do I believe in? Small government, low taxes, and family values. More than any other major radio host, he understands that modern conservatism is based on a defense of national sovereignty, distinct cultural identity, and Burkean traditionalism. I've quoted Burke. That America is not only a special and unique country, but represents a special and unique civilization, one that must be protected at all costs. Savage's flinty opposition to social liberalism, massive illegal immigration, and Islamist radicalism enrages the left for one basic reason. It seeks to sustain the West's historical and cultural core. It flies in the face of the postmodern, multicultural, progressive worldview dominant among our elites. Savage's real crime, he writes, is not fomenting hatred. It is fomenting a muscular conservatism. Smith's actions are a blatant attempt to criminalize and delegitimize conservative ideas. The left has been engaged in such repressive activities for decades. The latest manifestation in America being the attempt to restore the Fairness Doctrine. Today it is Mr. Savage. Tomorrow will be others. And I won't even read their names because I will not read the name of the wall banger or of the golfer because they have, to me, shown themselves to be not worthy of discussion. But he says they too will be next. They too will be next because they will not stand up for me. And of course, we go on. And he says it signifies that Britain is no longer willing to uphold its venerable, cherished principles. Britain prefers the false comforts of political correctness to the hard obligations of freedom. Mr. Savage is the latest victim, but he won't be the last. Conservatives must rally to his side. His fight is our fight. God bless you, Jeff Gunner. Thank God one conservative understands what's at stake. Maybe the ice is breaking. Maybe soon people will line up. Maybe a Christian organization or two will come to my aid. Maybe the Catholic League, which I've defended. How many times have I defended the Pope on this show? How many times have I defended Pope Pius XII? You say, you don't need my help? All right, so you don't need my help. I gave it to you anyway because I know it's true. How come you're not there for me? You're so self-righteous. Do something for me. Put out a letter, Catholic League. And you Jews, you professional Jewish organizations, where are you? You're so vocal on so many things, so outraged over so many things. Where are you when I need you? How come you've gone to cover? How come you're hiding right now? Where is the Jewish leadership in America? Is there any? I don't see it. Conservatives, where are you? Where are all of you who protesteth so loudly about so many things, except when one of your own is picked on by an entire government, you have nothing to say? What does that say about you? Where are you, conservatives, now that I need you? Well, today it's me, and you think that they'll knock me down. You may be wrong. They may not knock me down. This could bring down the British Labour Party for good. This could have an unintended consequence for not only Jackie Smith, but the entire Labour government for 30 years. This could bring them down, like Chernobyl. They could implode because of this scandal. And that's why I sent the letter yesterday to Hillary Clinton. People say, isn't it ironic? You're asking Hillary Clinton, who you criticized for so many years. I said, precisely because of that, she should represent my interests. Because she is no longer a partisan politician. She is the Secretary of State of the United States of America. Not the Secretary of the Democrat Party. Not the Secretary of the Democrat Party State. Not the Secretary of the DNC. Not a senator from New York. But the Secretary of State of the United States of America. And she has an opportunity to show herself to be presidential material by taking my side. Whether or not she takes it is almost irrelevant to me because I am going to find my justice in British courts. In the court of public opinion, I have already won. In the court of public opinion, Jackie Smith has already lost. Every poll in England shows that at least 80 to 20, and remember, there are an awful lot of Muslims over there, 80 to 20 are supporting Michael Savage. Not everything I say for sure. Not everything I believe in for sure. But my right to speak it and to write it, for sure. 80 to 20. 80-20 in London. 80-20 in England. I'm winning. 80-20. Court of public opinion, Michael Savage wins. Court of public opinion, Labour Party loses. So in the long run, this will destroy the Labour Party, possibly for good and for the betterment of the West. I hope when the conservatives are swept back into power, they actually do something instead of mulk the public. Instead of mulking the public like the Republican Party did here for 8 years, they were swept into power after Clinton, And what did George Bush do? He mulked the public. Look it up. M-U-L-C-T. I realize I'm only a disc jockey. But then again, the PhD does have some value. I know a few big words in between spinning records, which I don't do. There are a few big words I know. You know, after 25 published books, you do learn a bit here and there. Realize I'm not up to the level of CNN or to the politicians in America in terms of their intellectual brilliance and capacity for language. I mean, I'm certainly not up to the level of Nancy Pelosi's articulate deliverance of her messages and her use of language and syntax and use of words. I'm not up at that level, but I try my best for a disc jockey. And so, as I say, I do hope that when the Conservative Party is swept back in power in England, they do more than what George Bush and the fraudulent Republicans did for 8 years, which was to mulct the public. Mulct the public. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a very precarious state here in the West. The very foundations of this nation are being shaken. The pillars of freedom are being rocked. The boll weevils have gotten into the timbers of our civilization, and they are gnawing at the beams that hold up this great edifice, this great experiment called America. And it's up to you as to whether or not you will recognize what is going on. I'll be right back. Savage.
This is about a political stunt, political revenge. It is not about understanding where we went wrong. The people driving this train have a political agenda. It's not to get to the truth. It's try to second-guess people who are making the best decisions they could right after this country was brought to its knees from a vicious attack. We're looking back to play gotcha politics, and I will reject that. I will work with this president and this Congress to move forward, to have new laws that protect us, but we're not helping our nation by looking back and second-guessing people who are trying to defend the nation and did not commit a crime.
So the Obama administration, the edifice is starting to come off. The stucco is coming off the timbers, and people are starting to be cast overboard already. You're not going to read about this in the newspaper because they all write, you know, positive, friendly things about the Obama administration. They elected the anointed one, and they love him. And they're entitled to love him, and they're entitled to have cast away their wonderful, noble profession. They're entitled to cast away being the constant thorn in the side of power. They're entitled to do anything they want, and so am I. And I am telling you that somebody high up in the Obama administration has decided to throw Nancy Pelosi overboard for a number of reasons, and that is because she started a fight that she couldn't win. She started a fight with the CIA, and that's because she was hanging around with the wrong people in San Francisco. She listened to the pockmarked degenerate who runs the ACLU. Offensive words, yes, but I think his actions are more offensive than my words. I would say that the illegitimate, anti-American, anti-family, anti-military ACLU is more offensive than any words I've ever spoken. I would say the damage the ACLU has done to children, families, America, the military, and cops in this country is incalculable. I would say that the ACLU are the very enemies that America has feared all of its life. And Nancy Pelosi is friendly with them. Nancy Pelosi has listened to them. Nancy Pelosi goes to dinner with them. Nancy Pelosi is them. And they said, we are more powerful than the CIA. They told her that they have the CIA on the ropes. They have pictures. They sued. They found judges who were friendly to them and said, you're going to release those pictures. And the CIA fought back. And they said to the Obama administration, if you release those pictures, we're going to release the notes of the minutes of the meeting, and it's going to bring down not only Nancy Pelosi, but probably Dianne Feinstein, probably Jane Harmon, and probably others in your party. And then they all decided who was going to go. And they said, okay, let's back off here, because Obama came out the other day and said, okay, we're not going to release the photos. Although the radical crazy left was unhappy, he did what he had to do to defend not only his own presidency, but America itself. It was coordinated. Luckily for everybody, it worked out rather that both elements were protected at the same time. But Pelosi wouldn't stop. She kept hammering the CIA. So now she's left out there, and she's stumbling and she's mumbling. You notice who's not calling for hearings? You notice who's not pushing this? Dianne Feinstein, much smarter than Nancy Pelosi, much more prudent than Nancy Pelosi, knows where the, well, let's put it this way, let's leave it at that, the FDIC, the $25 billion, you know, where do you think that information came from? CIA. And this is just the beginning. If you think you've heard the last of Democrat scandals, you're mistaken. You've only heard the beginning of them. And unless they get off the case of the CIA, you're going to hear more and more and more that you don't want to hear. And more of them are going to fall. They're going to go to jail. There are some congressmen who are far worse than Jack Abramoff, far worse than Duke Cunningham, who should go away for 50 years, not 8 years. And it's just liable to happen. And the game is get off our back or it will happen. So that's what I think happened. She's flustered. She's flubbing. And the fact of the matter is something much bigger is at play here. And it could bring down not only Nancy Pelosi, but it could bring down the Democrat Party if they don't do damage control immediately and rein her in and rein in those calling for South Africa-like, you know, truth commissions. Astounding. I never thought I'd hear the day. I think you're going to see much, much more scandals than you see right now. So thus far, I've talked about this. I've talked about my particular situation. Tomorrow, I have another shock for you. Yesterday, I applied to Hillary Clinton's office to take necessary action to protect my rights under Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the UK are signatories. I pointed out to her that the European Court of Human Rights has already found that the freedom of expression protects those speeches that offend, shock, or disturb. And so it doesn't matter whether my speech offends, shocks, or disturbs. And I have asked and demanded that Hillary Clinton and the U.S. Department of State take all necessary steps to call on the government of the U.K., particularly the Office of the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, to rescind the aforementioned ban preventing the entry of Michael Savage into the U.K. Now, I had not applied to go to the U.K. I hadn't been there in many, many years. But once my name is removed from the list and there is a conservative government, if they invite me to give a speech before Parliament, I might go there. Once they apologize to me for her, or once she apologizes to me, I might go there. I might bring 1,000 people on a ship. I might bring 1,000 people on a cruise to England, and we'll spend a lot of money. Okay, so let's see who's worth more to England, Jackie Smith or 10 million Americans. You know, there used to be a saying, 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. Well, let me tell you something, 10 million Americans can't be wrong either. 10 million Americans have a lot of money to spend. We are not liberals. We are conservatives, and we spend money. See, we work for a living. We don't work for the government. We have money to spend, and we spend it when we think the cause is just. And if I say I want a cruise with at least 1,000 people, I could get 10,000 people on 10 ships. What if I had a flotilla of cruise liners coming into Southampton? 5 ships, 2,000 people each, 10,000 people disembark, and we spend like drunken sailors to show Britain that we're friends again. Who's worth more to England? A woman who bills the government for porno downloaded by her husband? A cheap piece of work like that who bills the government for rent? Or 10 million Americans? I'll let the Queen herself decide. At the end of the day, make it a financial decision and you'll see the right way is the right way. The right way is the right way. And the left way is the wrong way. Jackie Smith will wind up on the dustbin of history because that is where she belongs. Jackie Smith is already on the dustbin of history in England. She's on the way out the door, not just for what she has attempted to do to my name, has in fact damaged my reputation, not only in Britain, but around the world. And by the way, painted a target around me for saying things that I said about Muslims that were untrue. I never said them. The things I said were said after 9/11. The things I said were about radical Islamists, not about the great religion of Islam. Make no mistake about it. My critique was also directed at the Bible itself, and I've done that over and over again. But I would not expect a petty martinet like Jackie Smith to ever have listened or read it to the entirety of what I've said or read any of my 25 books. She is on the dustbin of history. Visualize 5 cruise ships with 10 million conservatives spending wildly in England.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what I've been focusing on today on the Savage Nation. I'm focusing on the fact that I've appealed to Hillary Clinton to represent me as a United States citizen. She is the Secretary of State, and she is supposed to rise above partisan politics. We have not heard from Ms. Clinton yet. We are talking about Nancy Pelosi torturing America. She's now admitted that she knew all along the terrorists were being tortured, yet somehow she forgot to mention this each time she attacked the Bush administration for supposedly torturing them. Now she's attacking the CIA for, quote, misleading her. It looks like Nancy Pelosi has been hoisted on her own petard. We've also talked about how former conservatives are cashing in as liberals, moving over to the Democrat side. Those who used to claim to be conservatives when the money was good, like Bill O'Reilly, now finding that it's more profitable to be a liberal during the age of Obama. The Leprechaun and other so-called ex-conservative bloggers have turned on me and find that they are suddenly amenable to more leftist views for whatever reasons. Which false conservatives have you seen turn to the left since Obama was elected? Many people have come out to support me on my being banned by England, whether they agree with my views or not. That's the important thing. The issue at stake here is larger than that. One of my most vocal supporters has been Pastor James David Manning, from Atla World Ministries.
Michael Savage! We with you, bro. We got your back. We're going to stand with you. We'll show them over there with their stiff upper lips. We'll show them a thing or two right here, right now.
He joins us now. Pastor Manning, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, hello, Michael. I'm delighted that you've had me on again. I'm really excited about this. A number of our members and audience listen to you every day, so I'm glad for them to hear my voice on your show, so thank you.
What moved you to speak out?
My first awareness of this happened in my morning reading of the Drudge Report. I read that every morning, and I saw that and immediately read the entire article. That brought it to my awareness. At first, I thought it was some sort of a joke. I mean, I thought somehow or another the Drudge Report was running some sort of comedy. But then I discovered that it was actually true. And then I read the people that were grouped into this blacklisting by Jackie Smith, who was a part of the security of National Security for England, and was terribly appalled at the fact. I know Michael Savage. I know his ministry. I know his broadcast. I know his history. Even the times of when he was with one of the mainline media outlets. And a large number of the people in our ministry listen to him on a daily basis. And I felt that, listen, if they can do that to him and get away with it, they'll do it to anybody. I mean, we got to stop it now. This has got to be stopped. Whether you support Michael Savage or not, you got to stop this, because if Obama and Jackie Smith are allowed to get away with this without a voice being raised, then they can lawnmower anybody at any time they want, even people who think they might be in good relationship with the Obama administration at present. This is a dangerous precedent that has been leveled against an innocent man and a lover of the American cause and a fighter for America. This ought not to be able to stand.
Why do you think I was put on this list?
I believe that this is a prisoner swap. I believe that the Obama administration is very much aware of, when I use the word threat, I don't mean it in a violent anarchist way. I mean it as a bringing of light. When I say Michael Savage is a threat to the Obama administration, I mean that Michael Savage is shining a light in a dark black hole. And that is a threat to every vermin that loves to live in dark black holes. I believe that Janet Napolitano and the Obama administration, Homeland Security, that they cannot find one shred of credible evidence or reason to blacklist Michael Savage according to what would be the criteria of the of our Homeland Security. So what they have done is gotten someone to do their bidding for them, namely Jackie Smith and the counterpart of the Homeland Security there in England, to do it, and do it in the most heinous way by lumping Michael Savage with known murderers, known terrorists, known people of known violence of the highest level. I believe the mistake also that they did by putting him that particular list that I read, because the list is pretty consistent until it gets to Michael Savage. You know, it was looked like a pretty dumb move. But I believe that we're going to see what I believe is that the English people, Jackie Smith, has done a favor for the Obama administration by taking a swipe or a swing at Michael Savage that the Janet Napolitano could not credibly take here in America, and we're going to be called upon to do the same thing for someone or some other nation, whether it be England or Germany or somebody else. That's why I believe this has come about.
Well, what bothers you most about this absurd ban?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I was first outraged or appalled, I think is a better expression, that this had been done to Michael Savage. But something far worse has happened. The fact that the Republican or the conservatives of America and the strong group of radio talk show people, that they have been so silent, has now outraged me. I mean, I don't know who I'm more ticked off with, if you will, whether it's the Obama administration and this conspiracy in cahoots with Jackie Smith and England to try to destroy someone who loves America and who's a patriot. But the fact that it has happened, and the troops that ought to, Michael Steele ought to be swinging left and right. I mean, he ought to be calling Jackie Smith to task, making her validate, making her explain. The conservative talk show people ought to be doing the same thing, both on radio and television. I suppose the more palpable feelings were from when I just read the article in the Drudge Report. But now that there's been such a silence on this thing, I mean, it's frightening. It is absolutely frightening. I'm asking myself, you know, does the Obama administration have such sway and power over the conservative talk show radio people that they won't come to the aid of Michael Savage? Is he that powerful? If that's the case, I'm scared for myself, quite frankly. There's a selfish part of this as well. I'm scared for myself. Now, I'm not afraid of anything. Let me just say that. But I'm concerned. I'm very concerned.
Do you think the Obama administration will help me in this?
I don't think they're going to stand up and speak in defense of Michael Savage. It'll be a cold day in hell when that happens. I don't think they're going to do that. And I saw Michael Savage on CNN. I think CNN did it. I think they covered it more so than Fox did. I think they covered it to say to other people that this will happen to you. They didn't cover it to express their irateness over it. They didn't state that, which they should have done, being done to an American citizen. They brought it to as a news item to say, look at the kind of victory that I see it as them supporting Obama, saying we nailed this one, we'll nail everybody else as well. So I don't see the Obama administration coming to the aid of Michael Savage. If it happens, you know, I just don't see it happening. If this is not defended by the so-called conservatives and Republicans, as I stated before, we are in a lot of trouble.
Pastor Manning, thanks for being back on the Savage Nation.
I'm thankful that you allowed me to be a part, to express my views to your very large audience, a very powerful audience as well. I respect greatly. In fact, we just received an email from one of your listeners who stated they've been listening to you for 14 years. I want to express my full support for you in this matter, and I pray that others will stand up and support you as well. Thank you so much, and let me give you a boom shakalaka as well.
Ha, right back to you. Thanks again, Pastor James David Manning. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Big Sis gets dissed. Regular listeners of the Savage Nation will recall a few weeks back when it was revealed that the Department of Homeland Security, under the direction of Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, issued a report saying that those who are opposed to abortion, those who oppose gay marriage, and returning war veterans were all suspicious right-wing extremists and should be carefully monitored by the police as potential terrorists. Well, it looks like Big Sis just got dissed. Napolitano had to go before a congressional hearing this week, the House Homeland Security Committee, and during that committee hearing, she was roundly criticized by both Republicans and Democrats for having issued that report. Representative Christopher Carney, a Democrat from Pennsylvania who is a veteran, said that he took offense personally and that his constituents were offended by the report as well. Listen to his own words, and he's a Democrat.
I would be remiss also as a veteran to say I took offense at that personally, and the one in three households in my district did as well. And I really want to understand the process here on how that got out. You told Mr. Dent that you did not authorize that, the release of that.
It was not authorized for release. That is correct.
Okay. What happened?
Sir, it was a product that was being circulated in INA. We know there, first of all, let me be very clear, it is not the only report out there that says that veterans are targeted for recruitment. It was an assessment, not an accusation. We have and are working with veterans groups.
But it didn't say that. It didn't say that.
That's right. That's why it should not have gone out. We've apologized for it. The report is no longer available. And we've put in place processes to make sure that does not recur.
Janet Napolitano said that the report had been withdrawn and claimed that an employee sent it out without authorization. What's interesting is that when she was asked if the person responsible for having issued this report was still employed with the Department of Homeland Security, Napolitano gave an evasive answer. Listen to her.
That didn't answer how it got out in the first place.
It went out because an employee sent it without authorization.
Is that employee still an employee?
Appropriate personnel action is being taken.
So we don't really know if there will be true accountability in this case or not. Presumably, the employee has just been transferred to a different department. But the bottom line is that this is a huge victory for talk radio. The Savage Nation and many shows across the country realized that this was a huge effort to target those with conservative views, period. Because you spoke up, because you called this show, because you demanded your representatives be accountable, this nasty, un-American report targeting vets and others was withdrawn. So never let them tell you that you can't make a difference. And here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. The number one story is the most important one. Savage appeals to Hillary Clinton to have Brits remove his name from the unwanted list. And this was a very important legal letter that you must download, written by my attorneys at the Thomas More Law Center. On the right side is a box to support the Savage Legal Fund, and you are doing so. Please keep doing so. Michael Savage Legal Fund, Forum Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111. Out this afternoon from the San Francisco Chronicle by Carla Marinucci. Here's a twist. Savage urges Hillary to take my case. Read the article. On the right side, Pelosi is caught in her own web. She said she didn't know, she didn't know, she did know, she didn't know, she didn't know what was doing. She thought it wasn't waterboarding, she thought it was teabagging, and she thought that it was enjoyable. Then when she found out that it was actually water being brought to a boil on the terrace, she said nothing. What's happened here is that Nancy Pelosi is an example of power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But even more to the point is that Nancy Pelosi is hanging around with the wrong people. Nancy Pelosi is trapped in her own web because she was listening to the jerks in the ACLU. She doesn't understand that if it comes down to a shooting match between the degenerate anti-American vermin in the ACLU and the patriots in the CIA, do I have to tell you who's going to win? It's not going to be the pockmarked degenerate in the ACLU who started to look like Robespierre to me lately. You know, the accusatory statements. She's been listening to these vermin in San Francisco in the ACLU who had her believe that they had the CIA on the ropes. She didn't understand that the old establishment is not quite dead yet. Apparently, she's been listening to the wrong people. And there's no question that she was briefed. And there's no question in my mind that they did the right thing at the time. And I would like to see what events were prevented as a result of waterboarding. DHS pulls report on right-wing extremists. That's another big sis in the administration. Remember her, Janet Napolitano? Oh, yeah. Her right-wing extremism report that warned that military veterans could become terrorists. Wow, she says it was not authorized. Sure. Well, why don't you arrest the individual who wrote it instead of telling us that it was not authorized? Now, this is a shocking story. Thought police muscle up in Britain. That's right, from the Australian. He says that Britain appears to be evolving into the first modern soft totalitarian state. Oh, no kidding. You got to read this article from the Australian, because I did, and it's up on michaelsavage.com, and we talked about it. We talked about it on the Savage Nation. It is becoming a soft totalitarian state. I warned you that liberalism itself is emerging into fascism. He says Britain appears to be evolving into the first modern soft totalitarian state. He says, as a sometime teacher of political science and international law, I do not use the term totalitarian loosely. He said there are no concentration camps or gulags, but there are thought police with unprecedented powers to dictate ways of thinking and sniff out heresy, and there can be harsh punishments for dissent. Although he doesn't mention the latest outrage against Michael Savage, he does talk about other cases of the emerging totalitarianism in Britain, and they're shocking. It even includes attacks on children. Even children. Because, example, you're not going to believe this. A trust chairman and columnist, Robin Page, said at a rally against the government's anti-hunting laws in Gloucester in 2002, quote, "If you are a black vegetarian Muslim asylum-seeking one-legged lesbian lorry driver, I want the same rights as you," close quote. Page was arrested, and after 4 months, he received a letter saying no charges would be pressed, but that, quote, "If further evidence comes to our attention whereby your involvement is implicated, we will seek to initiate proceedings." It took him 5 years to clear his name. You hear this? That's your England. There's no England anymore.
Savage.
Pelosi gets caught in her own web. For years now, Nancy Pelosi and her cadre and Democrat cronies have been whining about torture. All through the Bush administration and up through the current moment, you've heard the repeated mantra that torture is immoral, torture is immoral, torture is immoral, that we have to work nicely with the terrorists in order to get information out of them, that it's a violation of international law if a soldier puts panties on a terrorist's head, that the Geneva Convention has been broken if some insane bomber doesn't get a clean copy of the Quran and six ethnic meals a day and a prayer mat. Well, now it turns out that Nancy Pelosi apparently knew all along about waterboarding. It turns out that way back in 02, the CIA informed her exactly what was going on. And now Ms. Pelosi has been left to stumble and bumble and switch from one script to another in order to explain why she never spoke up about it, even though she was so offended. What's amazing to me is that she's now blaming the CIA, claiming that they lied to her about whether torture was being used or not. So the CIA did their job. They interrogated terrorists. They got the information they needed out of them, and in the process protected the American people by preventing an attack on Los Angeles, we learned. Yet the CIA is being attacked by Nancy Pelosi. Why? Because she's listened to the degenerates in the ACLU. Pelosi listened to the ACLU, and she's gotten caught in her own petard. The CIA tells her exactly what they're doing, and Nancy Pelosi sits on the information for years so she can attack conservatives. And now, when it's discovered that she knew about it all along, she attacks the CIA all over again. Nancy Pelosi has been exposed for all the world to see as a hypocrite. She betrayed the American people by urging they not be protected by the interrogation methods our government had to use at the time. She betrayed the brave men and women who worked for our government by claiming that they were evil torturers, sadistic medieval torturers. And liberals, listen to this. She actually betrayed you too, by pretending all along that she didn't know what was happening. Well, at least the House of Representatives has its first female speaker, and that's what's important, right? I've often said liberalism is a mental disorder. How else can you explain Jackie Smith putting me on this list with murderers? Joining us now to give his opinion on this and other liberal closed-mindedness is Wayne Allen Root.
Thank you, Michael. Liberals are the most close-minded people in the world. Even the rule of law means nothing to them. Take one of my heroes, our very own Michael Savage. Liberals in the United Kingdom government have forsaken the most cherished rule we have. It's called free speech. Michael has been barred from travel to England for the crime of free speech. Expressing conservative viewpoints is evidently now a crime in England. The thought police won't allow a conservative thinker into their country. Diversity, of course, is encouraged in the United Kingdom, unless it is conservative. Or take Miss California. She was asked a question about gay marriage just a couple of weeks ago. She simply answered honestly with, as Donald Trump correctly pointed out, the exact same answer as Barack Obama. She said she doesn't support gay marriage. She believes marriage is between a man and a woman. Nothing hateful there, nothing racist. She didn't support murder. She didn't commit a crime. She didn't encourage assault. She merely expressed her opinion, the same opinion that the majority of Americans and Californians have expressed. And for that, she was maligned, cursed, humiliated, and called a Nazi by gay activists. A Nazi! Now, I happen to be a Jewish American. My relatives were enslaved, tortured, and murdered by Nazis. Miss California is not a Nazi. And to confuse free speech with being a Nazi is an insult to every Jew ever murdered by Adolf Hitler and every American GI buried in Europe and Arlington National Cemetery. All those young GI sacrificed the most precious asset in the world, their lives, to protect the right of Miss California to express her opinions. Liberals not only violate the rule of law and ignore free speech, they want to destroy any form of dissent. No other opinions but liberal ones are wanted. But even this attack on free speech is small compared to the rule of law violated by Obama only days ago. You see, Barack Obama hates capitalism. And even more than that, he hates capitalists. He shows it in everything he does and says. The way he handled the Chrysler negotiation is the most clear sign yet of how much Obama wants to destroy capitalism and hand this country over to socialism. It speaks to how much he hates those of us in the private sector who risk our capital, who put our money on the line. Thank God for entrepreneurial risk takers in this country. They are the heroes of the business world. It is their money which funds our stock market, our real estate market, the capital needs of business, both big business and small business. And therefore, it is these heroes, these entrepreneurial risk takers, who create all the jobs and pay virtually all the taxes, who make our economy the most dynamic in the world.
But Obama's not satisfied with that.
Obama wants to make us France. That's his model. But see, in France, those risk takers don't exist. That's why the French economy for the past 25 years has grown at an average pace of 1.9% versus America's 2.9%. That's why the average American has income far higher than the average Frenchman. That's why the average American's disposable income after taxes is far higher than the average Frenchman. That's why unemployment in France is far higher than America. That's why France is dominated by big government, big spending, big taxes, and big unions. That's the Obama dream. He wants us to become France. But what happened with Chrysler, well, that takes the cake. That shows you exactly where we're headed. Obama practiced what I call thug capitalism. This one isn't about free speech. It's about free markets. John Gotti or the leaders of the Crips and the Bloods could not have done it better. Obama walked in and told the banks and the hedge funds who loaned Chrysler $7 billion and who were completely secured, meaning if something went wrong, they were first in line and they got the assets of Chrysler. That means by rule of law, no matter what happens, all of those secured creditors would always get paid first. And Obama walked in and told him, get to the back of the line. You no longer have security. You get 29 cents on the dollar, take it or leave it. I don't care if you have first dibs. I don't care if you're secured. I don't care if you have 100 cents on the dollar secured by the rule of law in a contract.
Unbelievable.
Then he threatened them with the destruction of their companies through one of three means if they refused to accept his deal. Number one, He told the banks who had accepted TARP funds that they had to go along with his plan or lose their funding. He could destroy them by withholding bailout money. Number two, he undoubtedly told the CEOs of these banks and hedge funds if they didn't go along with his form of thug capitalism, they were fired. And number three, he told the hedge funds that he would destroy them with the power of the White House press corps. Don't take my word for it. How about the lawyer who represented several of those hedge funds who happens to be a Democrat who supported Obama for president? He told the media that Obama threatened his clients with the power of the White House press corps. Then, for good measure, Obama went on TV and called all of these people evil, speculators, greedy, just to make his point that this was just the beginning of what he would do to them with at his disposal the liberal media. And then he proceeded to turn the majority of Chrysler over to the auto union that contributed millions of dollars to the Obama presidential campaign.
No.
So now we've got 55% ownership of Chrysler belonging to the auto unions that had zero security and were last in line and who stood by the rule of law to get literally nothing. All the people who had full security pushed to the side, unions sent to the front of the bus without security, automatically they own the majority of Chrysler.
This is unbelievable to me.
He handed Chrysler to the union. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. This was a robbery, a heist, a crime of epic proportions. If a kid with a mask and a gun robs a bodega, he goes to jail for 10 years. This was a crime of billions of dollars. If John Gotti, or any legal capitalist for that matter, tried to do the same thing, he'd be in prison possibly for life, for extortion, for fraud, for robbery, for stock fraud. Obama simply ripped off bondholders, banks, CEOs, shareholders, and investors in these banks and hedge funds, literally ripped them off in favor of unions in a pure, unadulterated political bribe. And then he called the creditors, investors, and bondholders greedy, selfish, and unwilling to sacrifice. Let's talk about sacrifice a little bit. Obama rewarded the unions who caused the bankruptcy of Chrysler in the first place with bloated compensation, salaries, pensions, and health care benefits for life, 40 to 60% higher than those of us get in the private sector. That's what destroyed Chrysler, and he rewarded them by handing them the company. And the people who put up billions of dollars, $7 billion to be exact, in order to save Chrysler and keep it alive, who took all the risk, were rewarded with pennies on the dollar. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our new rule of law. Under Barack Obama, it's all called thug capitalism. Pure and simple, a shakedown, the biggest shakedown in the history of America. Ladies and gentlemen, in liberal America, run by Obama, dissent is not allowed, government is all powerful, unions are king, even though they were the ones that destroyed Detroit, caused the worst economy in the nation for the state of Michigan, literally wiped out the big three automakers, and for good measure, the same union system destroyed the public school system of the United States of America. As I close, I have a few important questions for you, President Obama. Without capitalism or capitalists willing to take risks, who is going to pay for the bills for your out-of-control spending plans and welfare programs disguised as tax cuts for people who never earned money and never paid taxes in the first place? Who's going to pay for dramatically increased handouts and entitlements? Who's going to pay for your next round of bailouts? Who's going to pay for your next round of economic stimulus? Who's going to pay for your almost $2 trillion budget deficit? I'm afraid you've got a huge problem, President Obama. I'm afraid you have budget and revenue projections that you can throw out the window. I'm afraid you have tax revenue projections that are now closer to fairy tales than reality. I'm afraid you now have deficits the size of which no one has ever dared imagine in world history. Here's the moral to the story for my socialist Columbia University college classmate, Barack Obama. Be careful what you wish for. It may come true.
Wayne Allen Root, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
$1 trillion economic stimulus plan was supposed to create jobs and turn this economy around. There's been a lot of press lately about how the jobs numbers were not as bad as were originally feared. Ha! Huh. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is James Shirk for a closer look at these numbers.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on. There was a lot of press about the jobs numbers coming in, not quite as bad as what people had thought they were. The problem is that's not really quite the case. The economy lost only about 450,000 jobs, which is less than what people were expecting. But that was because the federal government increased hiring by over 70,000 workers, and most of those new census workers. Well, if you've got a job, that's certainly better for you than not having a job. But that's worlds away from saying that the economy has turned a corner. The government can tax other Americans and spend that money to create make-work projects or projects like the census all day long, or increasingly borrow money from our children in order to fund these jobs. That's worlds apart from private sector employers finding an opportunity to create wealth, to add value, to innovate, to be entrepreneurial, and creating value in the economy that gets things moving again. If you look at the private sector employers, then they really weren't that much better at all than the month before. It's only the increase in government spending. There's been a lot of press about layoffs going up, and that's true. Layoffs have gone up. Workers are more likely to be laid off today than they were 2 or 3 years ago. What hasn't attracted nearly as much attention is the fact that employers are also creating fewer jobs. Businesses are hiring fewer workers because they're basically trying to hunker down and try and make it through the recession, and they're not innovating, they're not expanding, they're not adding new divisions and the like. And so job creation has fallen by about 10% a month. In any given month, you would have had about 4.5 million new jobs created. Well, now we're down to only about 4 million new jobs being created each month, and that explains a lot of the job losses that have been going on.
So what is the problem?
Now, the problem is what Obama wants to do to fix this problem is not going to fix the problem. The stimulus bill was a massive new federal job creation program. That's what he sold it as. That's what he's touting it as being. But these aren't the jobs to create lasting wealth in the economy. You can have the government decide to build a bridge to nowhere, and you're going to employ thousands of people and spend tens, hundreds of millions of dollars building that bridge. But when the federal money runs up, all you've got is a bridge that doesn't do anything. That's the problem we have with the stimulus. They're spending so much money on these projects that are going to add very little value to the economy. It was basically everything on the Democratic wish list on what to spend. Well, that's all well and good in terms of doing stuff in the here and now, and we'll see some job creation from that. But when it's done, all we'll have is have spent a lot of money and not got very much of productive value in the economy. And the danger that the problem with all of this is that's money that could have been spent by actual businesses and by entrepreneurs to create real jobs that will create lasting wealth that are a foundation for prosperity. Because Obama's taken this $800 billion in stimulus and is running trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see, he's sucking up all the capital that businesses could have used to invest in their companies. When the economy starts to turn around, we're going to see interest rates rise rather sharply. So if you're a business owner, and you're thinking about, well, maybe I'll borrow some money from a bank to invest in this new division or in this new project. Or maybe you're trying to start up a business and you want to borrow money to get your business off the ground. Well, it's going to become quite a bit more expensive for you to do that because Obama's taking all that money. He's taking all that capital available to be invested and pouring it into the government, to government jobs. So we'll have bridges to nowhere, airports to nowhere, all these federal make-work projects being created left, right, and center. But we won't have jobs that innovate, that create value, that add worth to the economy. It's going to be crowded out by the huge size of the government. And so we have a government that's growing bigger and bigger and bigger and taking up an ever larger share of our lives. But that's not going to leave as much room for wealth to be created in the private sector. And that's the ultimate lasting foundation for prosperity.
Well, do you actually see signs of the economics turning around?
Eventually things will turn around. We haven't seen the signs of that happening yet. Again, the quote-unquote good news from this last month's job report was that there was all these new federal jobs with the census. Well, those are going to be gone in a year when the census is over anyways. Those aren't good long-term jobs. And we're not seeing the private sector job creation kick back up. You've got businesses very afraid that tax rates are going to rise in a year or two. Fortunately, Obama hasn't raised them now. But if you're an investor and you're seeing that Obama's promised to raise taxes on saving and investment quite a bit more, Well, you take that into effect, and you're not going to invest as much now because of that. If you're a business and you're afraid of something like a card check being passed and your workers being forced into a union because they don't have a secret ballot on it, well, unions are terrible for businesses. They're terrible for business health. And so companies are becoming more reluctant to do things like this as they're looking down the horizon, seeing all these very anti-business, anti-growth measures being proposed. And on top of that, we've got all the money that they – well, not all the money, but a lot of the money that could have been invested in the private sector economy being sucked away by the government. Well, government bureaucrats are – we're already seeing it. They're giving the money out to their political friends, to those with the political influence. Take a look at what's happened to Chrysler. We had basically the bondholders were forced to take massive losses in order to see to it that the union didn't have to make very much in the way of sacrifices. Well, certainly the union is – the workers are much more sympathetic than the banks, although there's a lot of pension funds invested in those bonds, but more immediately sympathetic than the bondholders and the banks and the Wall Street fat cats. But who's going to loan to a unionized company again if you know that despite what the law says, despite what the contract says, that you've got collateral that you get repaid if the company goes bankrupt, we're actually just going to come in and see to it that you take all the losses and the union really doesn't have to take that much. Because of this very short-sighted action, it's going to be extremely difficult for unionized companies to get investors willing to spend money on them, willing to give them a loan because they know if things go south, despite what the law says, they're going to be the ones forced to take the loss. So they're not going to do it as much. It's a very short-sighted action that the administration did with Chrysler and probably with General Motors. It helps their political friends right here, right now. But in the long term, this is bad not just for the bondholders, but it's bad for union members in general. Their jobs are – they're more likely to lose their jobs because unionized companies will have a much harder time raising money because the administration simply decided to ignore the rule of law with the Detroit automaker bankruptcies.
James Shirk, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.